Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin.
For King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, welcome back to it. We do it for our mates at King G. And I just thought somebody just butted in then. But anyway, that's all good.
1-3-3-5-3
is my number or our number. You'd mentioned earlier, or Kenty did, about people listening around the world at Triple M underscore NRL. We've got Josh listening in Watford in the UK. So, Josh, thank you so much for listening. And we've got Bazza. Sorry?
Boris in Kazakhstan.
Are you making these up, are you?
No, I'm reading your notes.
Okay. We've got Bazza there too in Johannesburg and a couple of people around regional New South Wales and Queensland. Dungog, Charters Towers, into St George in Queensland. Have you heard of St George in Queensland?
Gordon? Yeah, I have. It's really close to the border, actually. Mm. It's very close to the New South Wales border.
Okay.
Well, St George, really good people out there doing well. I think they had the drought. And
what's it near Warwick, Gordy? Or?
No, it's further out.
Further west of Warwick. West.
Warwick. Yeah, okay. Warwick is only about, I think, 2 hours from Brizzy, just out past
Toowoomba, is it?
So I don't know exactly where it is, but I've driven through there. And when you're on a bus having a few cans or whatever, or like, you know, going on a bit of a country road trip. Nah, well, I don't take that much notice. But I know that there's good people and cold beer in their pubs.
Kel's in Wallumbai listening to us. And
Red, Valley region.
Yeah, Red's in Glenrowan. Glenrowan.
Hey, hey, Kelly country.
What, yeah. We've got a lot of followers. I did a Zoom meeting yesterday with Apricity. It's a finance company, and there's a heap of people in Barrel. No, a heap of people in Barrel, Maroon, and they like you. Tony, mate, Big Tone. I think he was a publican, and you might have did a trivia day.
Oh, yeah, I know Big Tony. Tony Fish. No, Tony. I know. He used to have the wool pack.
Yeah, I don't
I think
know what
he used to have the wool pack.
See, so, mate, you wanted to bag him, yeah, but now he works for Apricity.
Speaking of the Woolpack in Redfern, can you confirm or deny, was that you out the front of the Woolpack that ended up on the evening news after the 2014 South Sydney 43 season premiership drought?
No, that was not me. I don't know who that was.
What was it? What was that bloke doing again?
He had his dropped his pants
or something.
Yeah, I didn't. How good. Must have been cold.
Do you want me to finish off who else is listening? Or
who else,
leave
Anthony?
It as,
who else?
We can leave it at that if you like.
There. No, I can see they're extensive.
Okay, we've got Sandra in Karratha. Western Australia.
Karratha?
Yes. Over to the next page. Paul in Broome. I'm not sure where Broome is. I think that's in WA.
Yeah, that's in WA, yeah. It's okay. Up the top, yeah.
And a couple listening of, in Darwin. One from Fanny Bay, which is a suburb in Darwin.
Yes.
No, that's a suburb
in
Darwin.
Yes, it is, yeah.
So wherever you are listening.
They've got the Fanny Bay markets, actually, down
they
there.
They do.
Got it's actually really good.
A couple of good
beautiful
restaurants
sunsets.
In Fanny Bay, too.
Yeah. Charles or something like that. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
it's
really lucky nice up area. There. They're lucky up there in the Northern Territory. Too.
Beautiful,
very,
up there.
Very minimal infection rate of coronavirus to the point where I think some of their pubs are going to actually be opening up in the next month. It was on the front page of the Australian this week. Yeah,
maybe we should send the footy to all these palookas that say let's send the players to
you wanted on
Christmas
Island,
Manus Island. Let's send them to the moon. Let's send them to Mars. Let's send them to Uranus. Send them anywhere where we can get the competition going again. Let's talk about the Bulldogs, guys. Their fortunes, I feel like they're slowly changing under the leadership of a great Doggies player in Dean Pay. Now, back page of the telly, Fatimar reports today, Fatimar Kadu, that possibly Josh Reynolds is on his way back to the Bulldogs. The Doggies certainly want him back. I think Josh would be up for that. Do you think Josh Reynolds, Gordy, would be a good signing for the Dogs?
I actually like Josh Reynolds, and for some reason he's lost his mojo, and the Dogs have lost their mojos since he left. And if he comes back at the right price, he comes off the bench, he gives you energy. I think Kieran Foran is their number one, you know, playmaker. I really like what Lewis does, but he's a great backup. I think he's a fantastic number 14. I actually like the way he plays. Someone like the Warriors, like he's just got to go to a club that's going to give him an opportunity,
yeah,
I believe.
I think he's got to be wanted, Gordon, and that's the issue. Like when he signed with the Tigers, it was under Ivan Cleary, and Ivan Cleary told him at the time, I just want you to come here and I just want you to play like Josh Reynolds. I just want you to be yourself. You're an energy player. You're an effort player. I just want you to compete on everything. You don't need to be an organiser. You don't need to be a game manager. But then, as we know, Ivan decided to take up an opportunity with Penrith. Josh is now on a hell of a lot of money at the West Tigers. He's got this year and next year to go. Look, the sticking point here is going to be how much the West Tigers are prepared to chip in. That's the stumbling block in terms of this deal coming to fruition. So as it sits at the moment, I don't think this is going to happen. Yes, it's been in the papers a lot over the course of last week. We, in fact, discussed it here on Triple M NRL Saturday Sin Bin this time last week, Anthony.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason I say that is because the Bulldogs, people I've spoken to at the Bulldogs, they say that the Tigers would need to chip in around 75 to 80% of Josh's wicket.
Really?
Which is a hell of a lot. And that's commercial suicide if the Tigers were to do it. I couldn't see them going down that road.
Look, I just wanted to play you a little grab. Channel 9's Andrew Johns, the eighth immortal. This is what he had to say about the Doggies wanting Josh Reynolds back.
I don't see it as a wise move from the Bulldogs. Getting an older half back in there who's had a lot of injuries and taking up a chunk of the salary cap. I know Tigers would be paying for it. If I was them, I'd be going out and buying the best young half, which Jake Clifford from the Cowboys isn't getting a start. I'd be going and getting him.
Okay, your thoughts on that, Hoops?
I wouldn't argue with the eighth. I think he's spot on in terms of the Bulldogs should be looking to the next generation, and they've kind of tried to do that with the likes of Lachlan Lewis and Brandon Wakeham and Jack Cogger, and nobody's really been able to grab hold of that number six jumper and make it their own since Josh Reynolds has departed Belmore.
Since Terry Lamb?
It's a fair point, Gordy. It's a very fair point. I get the impression the unknown in all of this is how Kieran Foran returns from injury. If Kieran comes back and he can get back to that touch where, you know, nobody dances in the valley of death in terms of digging into the line like Kieran Foran does. He is the toughest player and one of the toughest playmakers the last 20 years, the way, like, he was fearless when Manly won premierships. And when he was playing there and it was he and Cherry Evans in the halves, Glenn Stewart on that right edge, that champion team, you know, Kieran was one of the bravest players in the competition then. Unfortunately, his body has let him down over the course of the last three or four seasons since he left Manly. But if he can come back and string games together and play well, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dogs offer him an extension on his, because he's off contract at the end of this year. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulldogs offering him an extension, but it'll depend on him being able to stay on the field.
All right, 133-53. Gordon Tallis, Hoops and Maroon here. It's the Saturday Sin Bin. Let's take some of your calls. Dave's in Panania. Dave, you're a Doggies fan, mate. What did you want to say?
Yeah, guys, just with young Reynolds, I'd rather him just, you know, get some of the younger talent up that's already at the club. He's done his time and a bit injury prone at the moment. So, yeah, I'd bleed some of the young cattle.
Okay, but if you're going to say he's injury-prone, I might put the name forward Kieran Foran.
Yeah, but he's already there, Maroon. We won't be able to sell off Foran, I don't think. So we've just got to... He's looking good, by the way, Kieran, and hopefully he can play in the next couple of weeks. So, but yeah, Josh, I wouldn't be... I'd be, if you're going to spend money, I think Pappenhausen might be the go for Melbourne Storm. There's rumours about that as well.
Well, he re-signed with the Melbourne Storm at the back end of last year, Dave. I think you'll find he signed with the Storm for this season and a couple more beyond that. So, I couldn't see Ryan Pappenhausen leaving the Storm system at the moment to go to Belmore. But to your point about Kieran Foran, Kieran's a great unknown here. Like, if Kieran can come back and he can remain on the field and fit, there is no question he can be up there as one of the game's most influential playmakers.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, thank you for your call, Dave. 133-53 is a number. You can call us at any time. What about, let's just have a quick look at this Bulldogs side. On their best day, you know, what are they capable of, Gordy? I mean, they've got a great coach. I think they're one of those clubs that maybe need to have that ex-player there at the moment. Obviously, they've lost a couple of players after this little drama in Port Macquarie, but they've still got some great players there. That Adam Elliott puts in. Obviously, Josh Jackson. They've got a couple of off-cuts from a couple of the other sides. And, of course, they've got Dylan Napa.
Yeah, absolutely. I really like the way they finished last year. I reckon their last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, they started to gel a bit. They started to play, dare I say it, a bit of Dean Pay style footy. It was just tough, pretty skillful. They all, you know, bit down on their mouth guard and they had a go for each other. They just got to find that. I think the Dogs, they are a few quality players short.
Yep.
But they don't come around too often, you know what I mean? You've got to – and right now with all these players and you just see what's happening, they're all a little bit selfish that they all want to go and play with each other, as in like all the good players want to go to one club where, mate, back in the day – when I was playing, there was a couple of great players at every club, but now they all want to go and play with each other to make it easier.
Yeah, I think the issue for the Dogs at the moment, Gordon, is depth. They had to sack a couple of players in Corey Harawira-Naira, who, in my view, along with Josh Jackson's their best forward, was their best forward, and then the winger, Jaden Ockenbaugh, as well. And they're struggling in terms of being able to recruit and lure big name players to the club. They wanted to have a crack at the Turbo brothers. They wanted to have a crack at David Fifita. They've had a wish list as long as your arm, and they haven't been able to land anybody with the exception of the good Pommy forward Luke Thompson, who will arrive and play in the front
row.
So
why is the club on the nose then? Why aren't managers taking them there? They're the ones that bullshit to them.
I think it's just a success thing, Gordon. I think it's as simple as that. So at the moment, and look, it's also a stability issue as well, because, you know, Maroon keeps referencing the coach, Dean Pate. Look, terrific fella, lion-hearted player when he played the game. Everybody in the game has respect for Dean Pate. But at the moment, he hasn't been able to get the results for the Bulldogs. They haven't been in the finals.
But he hasn't really had the cattle, though, Hoops.
No, he hasn't. You're right.
And he's had injuries as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's got these two palookas that he's had to sack from the club, which I think says more about how good the club's going. I mean,
you can't get a major sponsor.
Well, not when you've got blokes carrying on
as a result of that, and the club's going good. Yeah.
Mate, they had a sponsor ready to go before this drama happened with the Port Macquarie thing, right? So all I'm saying is now they've sacked those two players.
Yep.
If I'm a Doggy supporter, to me that tells me they're more fair dinkum that they sacked the players than if they kept them.
They are more fair dinkum, but it's professional sport, Anthony. It's the NRL. It's cutthroat. It depends on results. And so as it sits at the moment with Dean Payoff contract at the end of this year, and uncertainty surrounding whether he will get an extension, that's why, to answer Gordon's question, why the Bulldogs are struggling to recruit players, because there's instability there. There's uncertainty. It's the unknown.
That is why you're on the big bucks, Hoops. 1-3-3-5-3.
It's a couple of peanuts, couple of cashews.
Well, you've got a nice big house.
Big.
Hoops.
Mate, it's nothing compared to the Little Bay compound.
Gordy Tallis, Maroon.
You're on the 1,000-metre square block.
Nonsense. What we'll do is we'll take a break and we'll come back, see if there's any other club mail. And it's time for a segment that's getting a lot of great feedback as well. The grand final we forgot about. We'll do it next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. Of course, after 3 o'clock, we've been playing retro games on Triple M, but of course, we'll be on deck May 28 when it all starts again. Triple M will be here Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, all year NRL, into the finals, into the grand final, into Origin. Triple M have got you covered. But our retro game today, Broncos Storm semi-final from 2008. It's a big game. So let's talk about now the grand final that we forgot. We take you back to 2010 for the Roosters. It was a grand final appearance. And let's be honest, the last few decades, the Roosters have played in a lot of grand finals, won some, lost some. But the Roosters are always there or thereabouts. The Dragons had lost the grand final in 85, 92, 93, 96 and 99. But the St. George Illawarra Dragons beat the Roosters 32-8 in the 2010 grand final for the Dragons. First premiership win in a couple of decades. First premiership win as a joint venture. Wayne Bennett was the coach. You played for the Dragons yourself a bit. Gordy, got any specific memories about that Dragons premiership?
I just remember, like, how the thing I remember most was that little girl or little boy at the grand final breakfast said to Wayne Bennett, why is your team so boring? Do you remember that? Okay, so like, and I was at the grand final breakfast. I think that year, Melbourne Storm couldn't play from memory for the final.
Because they're about $8 million over the salary cap.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say that much. There's some sides out there that are equal.
It was four, Gordon. I remember it was $4 million
that
were over.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. That's about 300K a player.
There was boats and there was two contracts and like they weren't in it for a reason. It was fair that they were rubbed out.
Yeah. But I think that the Dragons that year got a bit of steel in their jersey. They had, you know, like a couple of those real old hard-nosed players and Dean Young and Hornby that just was so consistent. They had Gasnier come back. He was in the centres and they had the strike weapon. Coops was a great defensive player. Jamie Soward, Wayne Bennett, that season, Wayne Bennett gave him the confidence of Soward because I think as a player, Soward was, you know, he had that love-hate relationship with the media and the fans or whatever, but that year Wayne Bennett sort of got him not to carry his divots, and Soward had a great year. His kicking game was spot on, and their forward pack was hard-nosed, led by, you know, blokes like Bo Scott. So
Neville Costigan and Jeremy Smith.
Yeah, well, Wayne just knows the players that get the job done, and that's when, like, I think he asked me when he went to the Dragons, and goes, what? I said, well, we've never been known as a tough side. When I was there and you're playing the Dragons, they were never known as a side that was ever going to beat you up. You know, you go play Newcastle, it was tough. You go play Brookie in the day, it was tough. You know, you go down to Canberra, it was tough. And I don't think that when you were playing the Dragons ever, you know, teams were getting on the bus and coming. And this is when I was playing there as well, that they're going to go to Cogravel and go, oh, well, geez, we're going to get beaten up today.
You know? It was hugely significant for the Dragons as a club because the year before, they'd gone out of the finals in straight sets. They were minor premiers, and then they had to play Parramatta in week one of the finals, and they got smoked by Jared Hayne, was on fire, and it was in the old McIntyre system finals days where the team that finished first played the team that finished eighth. So that Parramatta actually finished eighth, and they knocked the Dragons off in week one of the finals, and then they had to go up to Brisbane. And then the Broncos rolled them in the following week. And as a result of that, they were out the back door in straight sets. And then they copped a hell of a lot of criticism. Like the blowtorch really went on about they were called chokers. And opposition team fans started giving it to them. Because I remember Wendell was playing for them at the time. and he spoke about it at the time where he said some of the fans, you know, really started to get make it personal and really serve it up. And so it was big for the Dragons for them to come out the following season, and they hadn't won a premiership dating all the way back to the late 1970s. And, you know, several coaches, Brownie had been there, your great mate Gordon, and had got them close, you know, and that team that they had at that time, I think a lot of people thought they probably should have won a competition.
Enough.
Yeah, it was a hell of a roster with Trent Barrett and Sean Timmons and Jason Rolls and Bailey and, you know, all those gun players. But Wayne went there and he found some adversity in the opening season. He had them as the benchmark side in the comp. Like they were probably the best team for 2009 and 2010. But they failed in the finals in 2009. And so then they had to carry that burden with them, but they managed to do it. And I think at halftime that game, Gordon, the grand final, the score was actually 6-4. I think the Roosters
led.
Yeah,
they were down at halftime.
Yeah, the Roosters led. And Braith was playing really strong for the Roosters at that time, and they'd forged their way. They had that cracking game against the West Tigers in the final series. And you touched on Soward, Gordon. I remember he had to kick the field goal against the Tigers a week earlier to get the Dragons into the grand final. And that was really composed, and that was a big moment for him personally. And then in the actual grand final itself, Darius was terrific. Yeah. He got
Churchill.
The Clive Churchill medal. Yeah. And it was an epic. It was a real weight relief for the Dragons, for that playing group, because they'd had this expectation for so long, and players like Ben Hornby and Dean Young had been there and had tasted it when they had the gun roster and had lived through that era of, you know, they probably should have won a competition, they didn't. And you could really see the emotion. I remember some great vision of Craig Young and Dean Young after the game, you know, and that generational, that brilliant moment where you got, you know, the old man who'd played the last time that they won
tough
a premiership.
Ass.
Yeah, and one of the hardest front rowers of all time.
And when they embraced and had tears,
that's
a moment.
That was one of those great GF moments.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was like Johnny Lang and Martin Lang, but it was just, you know, watching a father and son that's given so much to the game. And Craig's a great guy. He was inducted to the Hall of Fame last year. And, you know, when you play at the Dragons, you just know that Craig Young was never a guy to, you know, just to mess with. And I think Blocker tells a story that, you know, it was like, I think he was a sergeant, was he, in the police?
Yes,
he was a sergeant on the field as well, you know.
Hey, that was a victory for the Dragons, a comprehensive grand final victory. They really did a job at the end, as you say, Hoops, considering they were down by two at half time. But since then, it's been a rocky road for this. Probably the most famous jumper in the NRL, the Red V. We look at them, they merged. They went on the field first time as a merged outfit in 99. And now they're kind of based in Wollongong. And now they're sort of...
Well, they're not kind of based, they are
Well,
based
they are, but I mean, if you look at it,
Can't be half pregnant.
Well, okay, well then, okay, listen. Then, listen, okay then, smart
you
ass.
Know,
listen,
okay.
listen, let's get Millie back.
If you want to say that,
you
go to the main street of Cogra and you tell the people in the pubs there that St. George are based in Wollongong. You go and tell them that.
You were an award-winning breakfast radio host in Wollongong,
yes.
Right? You're well-known all over Corrimal. And those areas of the
Austin
South Coast, Mia, Kiama,
Dapto,
all those types of areas.
Yeah.
You know, Wanuna. Mm. And here you are, and mate, you want to try and
mate,
say that
no,
they're kind of based
in the
problem
with
just
them.
Get
no, that's
your facts
the problem.
Right,
you get that. This is the problem with these merge clubs. They're kind of based in Wollongong. They're kind of based in Sydney. Mm. Like, if you ask one of their players, where do you live?
They lose their identity, don't
exactly,
they?
Exactly. Exactly.
So they run out in a Dragons jersey. So Willawarra fans don't like it.
Yep.
They're based down in the Gong, so the Dragons fans don't like it. And they just run out in a pair of Illawarra socks. Mm, mm. So if you're an Illawarra, great. How they fix it is when they play in City, they might wear the Dragons. But when they play down in Wollongong, wear that great red jersey.
Yeah.
They've got to have two jerseys. And same as the Tigers. Wear the West jersey. And wear the Balmain jersey when they're there, and when they go away, have a merge jersey, and it's pretty simple in my eyes. And the Dragons should always probably wear red shorts or something like that. You know, like when they play away, just let those great Steeler players like the McGregors and Wishart's and those guys know that they are a part of the great franchise.
I think Hoops, the only way, like more than a normal club, a merged club has to always be a top four club.
Well, not in the case of the West Tigers.
Right.
They finished ninth.
I know. This is what I mean.
But they've been nowhere near it.
To bind them as a club, as one.
Oh, you've got to have success.
Yeah. Constantly.
Yeah, I liken it to, you know, if you've gone through your parents being divorced and then they end up with another partner and so you either get a stepmom or a stepdad or whatever, it's always a bit awkward and you can try and paper over the cracks and play happy families and put everything back together and get on with life. But there's always just, it's not quite entirely blood, you know, so there's always just a little bit of division. There's always just a little bit of, you know, friction beneath the surface. And in relation to the Dragons, you know, there's a big Illawarra mafia. There's a big element of the club that is dominated and run by people who live and reside down the south coast and out of Wollongong. Well, no, I don't think Bobby's on the board anymore, is he? But certainly he was an integral part of the Illawarra Steelers and originally when St. George Illawarra was set up and his son Ian is now the director of pathways and recruitment. But there's an element of that. And then there's also a big St. George side of the board, a big St. George element of the Dragons Mafia, who are obviously much more pro, everything being out of Cogra, 11 in a row, never before, never again, the history of the great club, all that sort of thing. So I think that's why the Dragons have lost their way a little bit in recent seasons, is because underneath the surface, you've got these factions. You've got this element that's very pro Wollongong and pro South Coast, and obviously Mary McGregor, the head coach, falls into that because he played primarily for the Steelers and then also for the Dragons when they merged, made that grand final in 99. And so you have got this division, and the Dragons people don't entirely trust the Steelers people, and it's the same at West Tigers. As much as you can try and say, you know, I've had Johnny Scandalis, who played for West and then won a premiership with West Tigers. He said, mate, you can't, like, you know, sometimes people get confused and say, oh, yeah, well, I used to go for Balmain and we used to go for the Magpies, but, you know, now it's all West Tigers. We've got to look at it like that. Yeah. Everybody's together now. You can try and look at it like that as much as you like, but for people who lived through it and experienced it and remember the old days, you can never let go.
Yeah, I suppose. But go on, Gordy.
But look, my kids don't know the Dragons.
That's right.
My kids don't know Illawarra. The kids now don't know Balmain.
Yep.
You know, like when I said, oh, Balmain, like my boys go, who? I said, oh, the West Tigers.
Yep.
Oh, you know, Tommy Redonicus played for West. Who are they? I said, the West Tigers.
Mm. Yeah.
So like the new generation, it's only us old guys.
It's only, that's
that
right.
Do it.
Yeah.
And then like the mate, and you look at AFL, and I don't like pumping them up, but is it South Melbourne?
Yes, the Swans.
So, like, when the Swans are going good, they're known as South Melbourne and the Bloods. When they're going bad, mate, they're the Sydney Swans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everybody in Sydney has, you know, grabbed them with open arms and they put on that the Dragons.
What's the same
scarf
for you? It's the same for you up there with Brisbane Lions. They were the old Fitzroy.
Yeah, the bad news bears, no. So when they first come here, they played out of the Gold Coast and couldn't win. It must be something on the Gold Coast. And they couldn't win, and they moved to the Gabba, and they're playing out of there. And they had a really good season last year, I think. They come second, and they went out in straight sets, but they finished back in the top four. So,
that's good.
So they'll get some fans. Maroon, can you miss
Maroon, how have you orienteered us off into AFL territory? This is a rugby league
program. I was really worried about the AFL side up there. Anything else going on I need to know? Because I won't sleep tonight. I don't know.
I don't know too much.
Who's coaching them now? The mob up there.
I have no idea. Mate,
what are they called?
The Brisbane Lions.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've purposely not mentioned the name Latrell Mitchell up until this point, but now we're going to dig deep into Latrell. Next, as Triple M rocks the Saturday Sin Bin.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back right across the Triple M network, right across the east coast of Australia and wherever you're listening around the world. We welcome you to the Saturday Sin Bin. Thanks to our mates at King G. They've been the king of industry since 1926. Of course, Ream Hot Water, steady, hot and strong. And Macca's. Me and Hoops going straight to Macca's after this for a six-pack of nuggies, a couple of cheesies, washed all down with a Coke Zero. Yeah.
Do you get the six-pack? I've got to get the 10.
I know.
Six are just never enough.
Yeah, double down. Bit of sweet and sour sauce, bit of a sundae, maybe a thick shake.
Oh, sundae,
athlete
yeah.
first,
are you one
Anthony?
Of those guys when you go there, and I'm one of those guys every time I walk in the Macca's, right, I know exactly what I'm ordering. But I still look at the board and make the people behind the counter wait.
Yeah.
I order the same thing every time.
What about the old?
I get the Coke Zero, guy, so I'm really taking care of myself.
I get the old double decker fish fillet. You know, the old fish with
two.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, the old double up. Oh, it's a big old love sandwich.
How'd you go with your King G stuff this week? Did you get the
love sandwich?
Did you get that high vis and the khaki material?
I've got some
that
great
ordered?
Stuff from. I got. Yeah. They sent me these like long King G pants.
Yep.
So I cut them into some Daisy Duke shorts. I'm just getting around upstairs at my house. It's very warm.
Is that right? You're going to wear the high vis down at Little Kong Wong?
I might. Yeah. I'll see how I go. I've got the drone's not working at the moment. As soon as I get the drone back up.
How
working,
dare you talk about Daisy Duke like that.
Yes.
As a young kid, was there anything better?
Oh, Daisy Duke.
No, mate, I'm talking about the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, you like
mate,
the car.
Mate, the General Lee, yeah. Mm. Oh, mate, I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it.
Do you want to add
Boss
anything?
Hog.
Anything to this? What about that show Chips? That was a good show too.
Yeah, Punchy.
Yeah. John Punchy and Ponch.
Yeah, hey, Ponchy.
I got an email here. Louise from Red Hill, which is a suburb in beautiful Brisbane, says, "Hi, guys. Happy Mother's Day to you and your mums. Gordy didn't do a recipe today." No, he didn't do a recipe because he's going to do, at 2:55, Louise, he's going to do what to watch on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, he's got a special thing for you to watch on Netflix. But right now we're talking about Latrell Mitchell, a name I think we've all heard just about enough in the last 4 months. But a couple of...
You sound a little bit bitter there, Anthony.
I really
on?
Am
you're
sick of hearing about
South
him.
You're a South
Sydney
Rabbitohs member and fan of the
core.
Yeah,
100% I am, yeah. So,
what are you upset about Latrell?
Let's see him play football and hear a little bit less of... Well, first
Look, in fairness to Latrell this week, right, what really tipped him over the edge is that there was a bloke from Channel 7 who had decided he was going to hide in the bushes out the front of his house out in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, do a commando roll out of the bushes, jam a microphone in his face and try and make himself a hero. And that really upset Latrell. And I've got to say, I can see it from his perspective. All he'd done is had to go for a COVID-19 test, which millions of other Australians have had to go and have as well. He rocked up at training, he had a sniffle, and so the protocol dictated that he needed to go and get a test, okay? Now, South Sydney were furious about it to the point where Blake Solly actually telephoned Channel 7 and had a conversation, said, "Guys, you've been to his house. You know, we feel as though you've overstepped the mark. There was some vision shot. Can you please not use that vision on this evening's news?" Channel 7 apparently agreed. And then whatever's happened in the background has happened. And then the footage ended up running on the evening news, including Ladrell's address.
Which was?
I can see why the bloke's a bit pissed off.
Right, okay.
I can see why.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Okay. He's so on the phone.
Yeah, mate, the last 6 months of where's Latrell going? What's Latrell going
to
do?
Yeah, but just go
and
to training.
He doesn't want to stand up to the anthem.
That.
Yes, he does. No, he doesn't.
No, Maroon,
I'm
listen,
sick
mate, you're
of
not
hearing
the point.
About the guy. You're not getting
That's
the point
right.
either. Just because Paul Kent's not here, you two don't have to gang up on me. I don't have to think what you think.
I'm not ganging up on you. I'm just saying, He's not coming out and saying it. He's not doing anything. I think the privacy is your own house should be private.
Yep.
When you go home, you're the dad, you're just Latrell Mitchell. When you leave and you walk into Redfern or you're out in Joe Public, okay, they can walk up and ask you a question, right? Yep. If you're sitting at a cafe, okay, I think it's sort of fair game. Even though it's a bit hard, I think it's fair game. But if you're sitting in your own house and you're walking out and someone jams a camera in you, I think that's unfair.
Well,
I think it's un-Australian.
And that was the issue that Latrell really, and South Sydney for that matter, Anthony, really took umbrage with. Now, further to that, Fox Sports went to South Sydney's first official training session and shot some vision of the Bunnies training. Now, that, from my perspective, that's fair game. Once you're officially out training, Redfern Oval is hardly a private enclosed area. Anybody who wants to can just go and lob and stand outside the parameters and watch the club train and the players train.
Let me just see if I've got this right so far. You don't like what Channel 7 did, but you're okay with what Fox League did.
100%.
When was that Redfern Oval?
Massive
you're
shock.
Doing your job.
That's Anthony, a massive shock.
Since when when is the sporting media not allowed to go to training sessions and report on what happens on the field? Never, you dribbler.
You are, so, why are you so angry? Is Paul Kent channeling through you? Why are you so angry, mate? Hey?
No, why Paul are Kent you is so not angry? Channeling. I'll tell you why I'm so angry, because you're trying to lumber us into the same basket as Pelicans who want to do commando rolls out of bushes and jam microphones in blokes' faces unnecessarily. It is always going to be fair game. If you're a professional footballer, as long as I've been involved in covering the game, it is always fair game to go to a training session and report on whatever happens on the field.
Okay.
And at South's first day back at training on the field, Latrell was off the pace.
Right.
And so Wayne Bennett is adamant that he's going to continue to pick Latrell at fullback. And the question a lot of people are asking is, has he got the conditioning and the motor at this point in time to be able to do it?
Here's what Wayne Bennett said.
No, I'm not worried about that because I won't let him do that. Right. And I'll protect him. Well, that's not going to happen on my watch, okay? He's a wonderful young man. No one knows how good this kid is. I just don't get it with him. I honestly don't get it. One of the most biased things that I've probably seen in my coaching career, actually. I've seen guys go through tough times with the media and a few things can happen. But this guy, in terms of behaviour, he's impeccable with regards to alcohol, drugs, all the other things the young guys can get into. Hasn't got a scratch on him. He's happy going home to Taree, being allowed to live his life up there and come back to train there and live here and play his footy career. But, you know, at the moment, nobody wants to let him do that.
All right, I'll get a comment from you now, Fox League's James Hooper.
Wayne's going to back Latrell into playing fullback, and it's a big, big call. We've seen Wayne over the years be able to put an arm around players, give them a cuddle, and get the best out of them. Jamie Soward at the Dragons is a good example. A lot of people thought that Soward probably should have been dropped and shouldn't have been playing NRL, but Wayne believed in him, put Bo Scott beside him as a bodyguard and had Wendell Saylor around him. And, you know, he found a way. He knew what Jamie's strengths were and he knew how to get the best out of him every weekend. Gordon touched on it earlier. He gave him that slogan, don't carry your divots. Mm. And Jamie developed as a player and as a person and as a result won a competition. In relation to Latrell, this is a big, big gamble for Wayne. And, you know, he's been involved in the game, coaching for more than 40 years. He's the longest serving NRL coach. He's won 7 comps. He knows what he's doing. But it's a big gamble to say that Latrell is going to be able to handle playing fullback, because from what I've seen at this point in time, he looks as though he's off the pace.
All right. What do you think of that, Gordy?
Yeah, well, it's for one, he didn't train hard in isolation.
That's right.
For him to come back the way he did, it proves that he took the piss a little bit, away from the main group, but that got isolated. And the best thing, Wayne would be happy that that footage is out there. So Latrell that. But I think Latrell's got to want it himself. There's no doubt that he's got the ability. He's got everything. If I was talking to Latrell, I'd make sure that he listens to one person or two people. Like, mate, listen to your mum and dad and listen to your coach. And I think whoever else has given him some advice, I'd get away from it and just make sure that he puts his mind to it. Because if he does, he's the best. He's one of the best players our game's ever had.
All right, boys, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up here. Our retro game this afternoon, Storm versus Brisbane 2008 semi-final. But we'll come back shortly and wrap this up as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks.
Rocks Footy.
Welcome back to it with the great Gordon Tallis, James Hooper and Maroon. We do it for King G. We're just about done for today here on the Saturday Sin Bin. And before we do, Gordon and I have taken upon ourselves to watch Netflix through the week to come up with what to watch. Now, the nominees so far, Tiger King, Afterlife, Gomorrah, Dead to Me. But you've picked something different here to do your report on here, Gordon Tallis.
You forgot about The Last Dance too, the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, of course.
What is it, Gordon?
Yeah, it's absolutely outstanding. But there's one called Sour Grapes. It's about an hour and a half, and it's about this young kid that gets done for wine fraud. It's actually
wine fraud. Don't hear that every day of the week.
No, you don't. So it's really good. So all those people out there, and I don't get, you know, those people that have wine. I don't get it, right? You go do wine tasting, it's supposed to be good wine. You spit it out in a bucket. Why would you spit a perfectly good wine out? I don't get people, but they got ripped off. So I got the pleasure of watching Sour Grapes.
And what do you give it out of 10, please, Gordon?
How many stars?
Seven. Yeah,
seven
and a half stars, yeah. I would say.
He was buying like $15,000 bottles of wine.
Oh, more. Right. $70,000 bottle. And he was going to restaurants and buying the real stuff and saying, can I take the bottle home? I'm going to give it away, mate. You got to watch it. And it's all
right.
And it's got a bit of live footage in it. It's pretty good, actually.
He had a couple of casks from the old Aldi. And he was filling up the 70,000.
He had an exceptional palate, so he could taste the pepper, the tannins, the strawberries, the chocolate, the earth, and he knew what he was talking about.
Much like yourself.
Yeah.
Gordon's more of a beer connoisseur.
I don't mind. Yeah, but I don't mind the old grape juice every now and then.
Well, boys, I think that might just about do us for today. As usual, Gordon, you've been up to your high standards.
Yeah, of
Hoops,
course.
You got a bit of work to do, mate.
Thanks, Anthony. But look, I enjoyed the poll today, mate. It's great to see.
How did the poll finish up?
People really bought into the poll.
I don't know, but Billie Jean is not your lover.
Maroon's poll, do I look like 80% said I look like Billie Jean King, 20% said I look like Carol Baskin's father off...
husband
off Tiger King, 10% said I look like Chris Anderson, 2% said I look like Dick Smith, and 5% said I look like Carl... Grilzanuski.
Dr. Carl.
Anyway,
Dr. Carl.
I've had just about enough of you, Hoops, and you too. We'll see you next week.
I love you, Anthony.
Up next, our retro game from 2008, Melbourne and the Broncos.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.